We're going to jump right into the word of the Lord. I want to just say God bless each and every one of you, to all of our fivefold ministers, and to our elders and ministers and deacons and all that make up the household of faith. Amen. Whether partner or friend, for those who are joining, praise the Lord, online on Facebook. Amen. We're so grateful and thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For you. Praise God. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. He is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. To my wife, praise the Lord. Thank God for Pastor Louisa. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God give you honor where honor is due. Amen. Praise God. And then to all of you that make up the household of faith, are you ready for the word of God? Hallelujah. Well, it's ready for you as well. Praise God. I want to turn our attention, praise the Lord, to where we have been. And then I want to give you another portion of scripture in the same chapter of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And then I want to preference some things before I minister to help us to get a greater understanding about the word that we're getting ready to hear. Just talk in the atmosphere, amen. Prepare your ears to hear, amen, what the word of the Lord is going to speak to us and what God is going to speak to us on this morning, praise the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, my ears are ready to hear what you would say unto me. I remove all distractions. I removed every deterrent that would try to prevent me from hearing this word. I shall receive everything that you are saying, unhindered and unchecked, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah and amen. Was I talking about you? Hallelujah, amen, amen. Well, let's turn our attention again, if you're able to stand. One more time, praise God, I ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then 22 and 23. And yes, 12, 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and Hebrews, and also verses 22 and 23. Amen. Ready? Let me read it to you. Declare it to you. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 22. But we are come unto Mount Zion, unto a city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, the doers of his word. And may all God's people say amen, amen and amen again. You may be seated in the presence of our life-changing King. I want to minister to you today from the standpoint, of course, of looking unto Jesus. And then the subtitle is, We've Got Company. We've got company. Now, as I get ready to minister to you concerning the word of the Lord, y'all let me know if you call. We got the fan on. We turn the fan off. Okay, turn the fan off, please, somebody. as I minister to you today, I need to preference some things. When your husband get back, let him know. I need to preference some things before I minister to you or as I minister to you. One is that as we get ready to get into the word of the Lord, I need you to flow with me at the pace that is set concerning what I'm speaking about. If I'm speaking about something, i.e. Evangelism, or I name something in relationship to that, don't take a hard left or a hard right concerning the subject of evangelism as though that's going to be my primary topic. What I need you to do is take a slight left or a slight right, because if I name evangelism, I'm naming it only from the standpoint of speaking about a principle of it, not that I'm speaking on the subject of it. You see what I'm saying? So if I'm doing that, so I'm just telling you that, so I'm getting ready to get into the word of the Lord. Also, too, so when we do that, see, if you take a hard left, then you're going to try to get ahead of me. And if you get ahead of me and I don't go where you're going, when I'm coming back to talk about something else, you're still going to be going down the road where you took a hard right of evangelism, trying to figure out, why did I mention it? I'm only mentioning it because I need you to understand a principle of it and not the subject. All right, we all right so far? I also want you to understand that as we get into the word of the Lord, that I'm going to be talking about, the scripture is going to be talking about, is going to be taking us in and out of the spirit realm and into the physical realm or the natural realm. And it's seemingly like it's kind of chaotic, but it's really clear as we start to get into it. Because the thing that the Lord wants us to understand as we study the scripture is this. We must always be cognizant of the fact that we are in this flesh. We are in this natural body. We're in this fallible, fickle suit called the body. And the old folk, you say, sometimes up, sometimes down. And literally, we could be like that, almost to the point where we feel like sometimes we're losing our mind sometimes. But we have to understand that. But what we're going to do, we're going to elevate that thought from a non-traditional setting. Because sometimes when we talk about being spiritual, still living in the natural, we sometimes give excuses for the things that we're supposed to have been developed and delivered from. And so, but in this, though, we need to understand this. With the Spirit, there is greatness in all of us by the Spirit of God. Yet we need to understand that we are carrying this precious vessel of this precious Spirit of God in this earthen vessel. Always be mindful of that. Paul said it like this, that I might know him and the power of his, not mine, his. He says, I can do nothing without Christ. And so we got to constantly be reminded mindful of that. One of the elders, when I was at Christian House of Prayer, used to always tell us, he says in terms, and he was talking about the enemy in prayer, but he was talking about how that you need to be mindful of him, but don't pay him no attention. Talking about the devil. You need to be mindful of him, but don't pay him no attention. In essence, don't put your energies on trying to concentrate on what he's doing. Put your energies in what God is speaking to you. So you want to be mindful of him, but you don't want to pay him no mind. And so in this, then, we must realize that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And it doesn't matter about what side of the street you come on. Dwayne Allen of the New England Patriots, who won the Super Bowl, was a part of the conference that we was in this weekend as far as the champions over at Truvine. And what he said is that he said, I'm from B Street in Fayetteville, North Carolina. In case you don't understand where B Street is in association, that's the lowest living in North Carolina in Fayetteville. That's where all of the under lords and that's where Satan hangs out at. So you got anything and everything you want that's not like God, you can get in that area. Anything you want. Anything you want, you get from that area. And so he was trying to wrap his mind around, why would God take somebody from B Street and use me to go and go to places all around the world and do things? And I'm from, it's not supposed to be like that. Even his best friend was arrested with 35 years in prison because he was the Fayetteville's drug lord or kingpin for drugs, his best friend. And there's no reason why he shouldn't have been in the same way as his best friend. And it was no difference between he and his best friend as it relates to God and his favor. It just became a series of decisions that he made. And it's a series of decisions that we make every day to do and to be what God has already purposed for us to be. Greatness was in his plan for your life before you were born. That's why he says, I know the plans, but I can't do my plans without you being born. So I'm setting a specific time for you to be born so I can produce the greatness that I already planned. But you must decide, realizing that you're constantly in this flesh, to facilitate the greatness of my plan in your life. We okay? So now watch that. See, that's what keeps us humble, because we realize we can't do this in and of ourselves. Paul said it like this in Philippians, I believe it's 3:8. He says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Here it is. And do count them as dung, that I might win Christ. So now let's go back over. Keep that thought. Let's go back over to Hebrews, because he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So everything we do is to win him. To win him. Everything we do, Jesus, looking unto Jesus, everything we do at every segment or section of our life, we should end up by seeing him. And if you win in the situation that you're in, you can win and not see him. You can overcome it. You can get the victory. But you, in the end of it, you need to, in the midst of it, you need to keep looking on to Jesus so you can win every time with him. So the Lord takes us through the scriptures to help us to understand that we are in this flesh fallible, yet we wrestle with this greatness. So we need to submit unto God to tap into our greatness, resist the devil that's trying to work with our flesh or our nature. And the Bible says, watch this, he'll flee from you. Watch this. It says, look, he says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run toward him. And as we run toward him, submitting to him, the devil is running. See, there is a place, a level where there is no devil, because when you get into God, see, but what we have been conditioned to say at every new, and that's, at every new level, there's what? See, the devil wants us to think that. And as long as we think that, we'll find him there. That as soon as we start to want to run for God, we got to first of all fight with this new devil at this new level. And so we put him there at a place that he's not. Because see, at some levels, there is a level. See, if I submit myself unto God, and I run the race that he had already purposed for us to run, and I resist the devil because he's constantly trying to show himself stronger than what he is. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. What is the reward of Satan? The reward of Satan is for us to be right there with God and still embrace fear. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide up under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, up under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that waits at noon. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy... shall you behold and see. You're right there with God. You know God is for you. You know Jesus died for you. And yet how the enemy's able to show you. To say, you at a new level. You're going to see the manifestation of me like you never saw me before. Jesus took care of that joker on the cross of Calvary's cross. He said, all power is given unto me. Hallelujah. And I give it unto you. If you would receive me, I will give you the power to become the sons of God. And then what did the enemy tell Jesus or try to tell Jesus when Jesus in Matthew's gospel, the 3rd chapter, was baptized in the Jordan? And the Bible says when he went down and came up, he says, lo, the heavens was open and a voice from heaven, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, not King David, not Jeremiah, not Isaiah, not Ezekiel, but it was God himself said, this make no mistake, this is my beloved son and whom I'm well pleased. He gets over in the fourth chapter of Matthew's gospel, and the Bible says he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to confront the devil head on, to let him know, the devil know, that I am God's son. You need to show up by the leading of God's Spirit. That's why he got you right where he wants you, in a nasty job with a nasty supervisor, because you need to go right up and face the devil with your sanctified Holy Ghost filled self and say, and then what they're asking you and telling you, see, I don't like this kind of preaching. What he's telling you, or that supervisor's telling you, if you be the son of God, they make you question not your religion, they make you question your relationship with God. Because if God was really good to me and he was my father, he wouldn't have led me up to a place that don't seem like he's not. Oh, I'm preaching now. I don't need your amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what's going on. Praise God. Jesus. And the Bible said, is the servant greater than the master? Jesus was led up into the wilderness to let the devil know, I am a son of God. And when I come through this junk, when I get through this mess, when I get through stepping on your head with the word of God, hallelujah, the ministers of the God, because I won't give you what you want. I won't give in. I won't give out, because I love who I am. Know who I am. I know who. You better back up while you can. You better get out of here while you can, because you're getting ready to get stomped on. Hallelujah. And we see the devil didn't show up to Jesus personally until he got to the cross. He didn't show up again until he got to Gethsemane. He went through his whole life and whole ministry, and he didn't show up again until he got through. Praise the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? So the scriptures deal with this principle. Because you need to understand, no matter how high in God you get, you still in this flesh. You got to understand that, but nonetheless, look at this, though. Let's look at this, though. If he can anoint, I use junk. It's Bishop Noel Jones. That's his term. But I like it, though, because he's always talked about being delivered out of this junk, being delivered out of the situation, circumstance, you know. But I'm just saying, you're still in this. Paul says, I had this situation going on. I kept feeling like the enemy was pushing on me, and I prayed to God to get this thing up off of me. And he said, I prayed three times. I went to God, prayed three times. But God said, I'm not going to deliver that from you, because I need you to constantly know, lest you get pressed above measure, lest you figure out that you done this thing, lest you start talking about, I'm a self-made man, I don't need God, lest God start blessing you and you forget who blessed you, lest you come out of and be delivered and forgot who delivered you, lest you start driving a new car and forget about the hoopty that you left out of, lest you get in that mansion and forget about the trailer that you used to live in, lest you start eating pork and beans and get a filet mignon and forget about the pork and beans that you started to eat. No matter how high he take you, you better know, hallelujah, from where you come from and where your blessings come from. Don't you get blessed and start acting ignorant or stuck up. Hallelujah. Or you just like, oh, just don't touch me. Oh my God. I can't go to the soup house no more. I can't feed nobody. I can't smell a homeless man no more. We had a homeless man come in here and use the telephone, and it took us a week to get that sin out of here. But if that's what it took to minister to somebody, you don't forget, because you used to stink too. Hallelujah. Don't you forget where you come from. Hallelujah. Don't you forget who blessed you.
you wouldn't be here right now. Hallelujah. You wouldn't have no high heel shoes to take off. There was a time when you didn't have no shoes. Hallelujah. But God done blessed you now, and you gonna lose your mind up in here now? You driving better, wearing better clothes now? You got a name on your clothes now. Used to have Kmart and got designer glasses and designer shoes and all that kind of stuff. Used to wear hand-me-downs. Used to wait for your brother or sister to grow out of her clothes. You ain't getting no new clothes. The only person that got the new clothes was the oldest one, because everybody else got everything else. Take care of my suit, because I'm going to be wearing that as soon as you get out of it. And now God done brought us over. God done brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I might sweat. Hallelujah. You were sweating on that dance floor. Hallelujah. You used to go in with an afro and come out with that stuff looking like you from Africa. We get in church. Hallelujah. Used to drop it like it was hot. Now we can't. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We shouldn't say that in church. Y'all don't think I'm backslid. Praise the Lord. Now we're trying to unthaw you. Hallelujah. Put you on defrost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, he didn't. Y'all just went right over your head. No, he didn't. Praise the Lord. Y'all pray for me. Pray for your boy. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Praise the Lord. No, he did. I know he did. See, some of y'all going, you took a hard left right there. You took a hard left. Come on back. You should have took a slight turn. Come on now. You should have took a slight turn. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't take that hard left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Y'all all right? I hope you're not. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. Watch this. I said all of that, and I ain't going to say too much more because that was a good preface. Are y'all all right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all understand? We are still in this flesh, but we are a people without excuse. We're going to submit ourselves unto God, resist the devil, and as we run our race toward God with patience, look at the Hebrews 6:1-2. It talks about, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us run on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And that's a stop doing your thing and put your faith toward God. Run toward him and the devil will run from you. Come on now, but you're still in this flesh. I thank God because it keeps the pressure on us to keep pressing toward the mark. I realize that it's not the enemy that's he's trying to come after my mind, but I realize it's the enemy who's trying to, but I'm pressing toward him. But I realize the only reason I'm able to do what I do is because of Jesus Christ, and I keep pressing toward him. And the more you get toward the goal of winning him, the more the enemy can only look and see. But see, the enemy wasn't looking at you when you started doing what God required of you. The enemy was looking at you at the cross. He already seen you at the cross. If Jesus bore all of our sin at the cross, then the one who was the father of sin saw what we were delivered from even before we got here. And he couldn't stand, oh, y'all missed that one. He couldn't stand the fact that at the cross, he had to stand there and look at the fact that everything that we would do as far as sin, we were delivered from then. And he already saw us winning the victory. See, we might have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but you wasn't created in it. You missed that one too. You wasn't created in it.
You might have been born in it. That's why you need to be born
again.
Back to your original creative state.
Yes,
back into your original creative state.
Yes.
But we're still in this flesh. Mm-hmm. We're still in this, but God has the authority over it. Let me deal with one aspect of it. That wasn't the introduction. That was all a part of the message. But let me show you how this flows. Watch this. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. As you go through what Jesus went through to get to his earthly assignment, don't forget, keep looking at Jesus. Jesus shows us he was a champion over this flesh to fulfill what God had for him. He says, if you keep looking at Jesus, you won't become weary in well doing, because we believe that if we are in God, we are out of this flesh. We are in Christ, no doubt, but we are still in this flesh. So you can have a time, and I go through it, where it's like you preach the house down and go home, and you'll find many of the mainline preachers will say this: preach the house down and go home and be depressed. See people healed and delivered. You name them, I promise you, they said it. T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, Carl and Kilman used to wrestle with chronic depression. I ain't saying that right. Was Catherine Kuhlman. I don't know why I was Carol. Catherine Kuhlman. Just, and one of the Kuhlman. Y'all know what I'm saying. Look, and, but used chronic depression, delivering folk, laying hands on people, seeing demons come out and get home and be so depressed. And it's like, Lord, we pray for our sister Vanessa and for anybody else that has gone through whatever you go through. And we're looking at that and we're saying, Lord, if I have done all of this, why have these things? We look at Job and we say, Lord, if I've done all of this, why have these things come upon me? Why am I living better? You went through the divorce and you said, Lord, why have these things come up? You went through that death and you said, why have these things come up on me? Why I'm going through if I'm living for you? Why am I going through if I'm living for you? And it's a constant reminder. We are in this flesh in Christ. And they're truly the apex or the climax of our reward in God. The crescendo of our reward in God is when we get to heaven and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because you went through what you went through and gave me glory, even though it was pressing on you and you was limited in what you could do in your body, and you pressed through the pain, you pressed through the disappointment, you pressed through the setbacks that set you up. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, but he's still in the flesh. Still. So he says, lest you become weary. Now, y'all know what we do. Y'all know we hard on ourselves. Lord, why am I feeling? I might not get too much further. I'm going to have to let y'all go to digest it. He said, why am I feeling like this? I'm supposed to put on my face. Or what my mama used to say, put on the makeup. I could put my face on, y'all. Y'all, yeah. Love you, mama. Put a face on. And an elder helmet, they called it a hat. But I put my face on, put a hat on, and come and present herself. Present herself. Present herself. I'm just telling you. God is telling us. He says, then he goes on. Ooh, can I read you a little bit more? Amen. We got a little more time. Can you take some more? That's the question. He says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. See, what he's telling us is, you might feel faint or weary because you're still in this flesh with greatness in the spirit. He's telling us back to Jesus, looking unto Jesus. He's saying that you didn't have to give your blood for the deliverance of your sin. So don't confuse your deliverance from your development.
Come on, sir. Come on now. Come on. Amen. Somebody.
See, your deliverance is never in question. When God delivered the children of Israel, when Jesus delivered his church on the cross, God told Israel to look back, because the enemy you see now, you will see no more. And I'm going to cut it off where you can't even get back to the place of your captivity. I want you to go forward. And because the children of Israel, some of them, could not get Egypt out of their mind, God had to leave them in the place on the other side in the wilderness. And some people right now, you can't get what Jesus has truly delivered you out of. Your deliverance, your development is not your deliverance, though you may feel some of the same tendencies. Some of the stuff you struggle with, you might still feel the same tendencies, but you've been delivered from that. Now he's trusting to develop you where you are. So he's saying, make no mistake. When you are feeling weary, it's not because you haven't been developed, haven't been delivered. It's because you being developed. You in the process of what God has given you to do. Come on, but there are some similarities. That's enough to stop right there and just go ahead and give God a praise right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, prophesy to your neighbor. Tell him, you have been, through Jesus Christ, delivered. Right now, what you are feeling is the growing pains of development. And you know what? Because you're still in this flesh, they feel similar.
Yes, sir. My God.
They feel similar. Yes, come on now, they feel similar. How it looks like the same thing, but it's not. It's the difference between lust and love. It looks like the same thing, but it's not. When you've been loved by God and delivered from lust, but developing his love, it looks the same, but it's not. Boy, you preaching that word. Boy, you preaching that word. You preaching. Whoa! Looks the same. Come on, talk to yourself. Tell it looks the same. But it's not. Because I'm on the other side. He done delivered me. He done washed us. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. He got power to deliver. But right now, he's trusting to develop me. Hallelujah. He developed you. You know Jesus for your salvation, but you spend more time with Christ as your developer. Come on now. After a while, after you're born physically, we set up the nursery. But after a while, your legs be coming all out the rails, and it's time to change you from that crib and start to get you a bed. Because you only are an infant. What? For the shortest portion of your life. You can't be 21. Talking about guy got Google. You got an issue. And you can't be no babe in Christ all your life because you don't want to be developed by him. And you want to still talk about, I done been delivered. Well, get on over it and let's go on. Let's grow up in him. Come on now. Oh, you preaching that word, boy. Come on now, you preaching that word. He says, watch this. Can you take, I got more word than y'all got patience. I promise you that. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm only on verse 5. Let's end in grace. All right, here we go. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation. See, before you can forget, you got to first remember. He said, you have forgotten which was spoken. See, why you in develop? Why you being developed? Not delivered, developed. Why you being what? Developed, not delivered. Because you already been delivered. Come on, you already, through Jesus Christ on the cross, that's what the grace people are trying to explain to us. You've already been delivered. And you have. You're in development right now. Come on, you're in development right now. You're up under a coach. I don't care how good the individual players are. If you don't have the right coach, that's why he give you pastors after his own heart. And I ain't nothing but a coach. I'm a life coach, a spiritual life coach to get the greatness out of you. Because see, if you, and I understood now in terms of these things that they've been running on Kobe, because I didn't realize why Kobe was a ball hog. But Kobe, in essence, my understanding is, in an interview that he did, he was a ball hog and he wouldn't pass the ball because he was living at a time, raised up, I think he was in foster care and all that kind of stuff, but he was living at a time where he had to depend upon himself. So when he got to play basketball, he found out he couldn't depend on nobody else. So he would just depend on himself. If I'm going to get it done, I got to depend upon myself because that's how I was raised. So he says here, forget, he says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, if my people. Oh, how can we be his people? If we're going to be his people, that means we can't still be his people. We can't still be Satan people and God's people at the same time. So while you are in development, or somebody being free, right? I'm seeing chains and shackles. Praise the Lord, just falling off in the spirit right now in the name of Jesus, because you'll be free. Hallelujah. Just the fact that you're in here up under this word is freedom. Hallelujah. Right now. Now watch this. He says, what was I saying? He says, here, that, what was I saying? He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint at thy, when thou art rebuked. So he's telling us here, my son, oh, if my people, thank you, Holy Ghost, if my people, which are called by my name, can I add this to it? If my people, which are called by my name, which has already been delivered, but are being developed, which have already been delivered, but are being developed. That's an important point. Come on, sir. They've already been delivered. Come on, talk to the atmosphere and tell it. I've already decreed it. I've already been delivered through Jesus Christ. Right now I am being what? Developed. I'm being developed. And it feels similar. I can't get over that point. Look at here. He said, so if my people which are called by my name, would see, remember you still in this flesh, would humble yourself and pray because you're my people. You've been delivered. Now you're being developed. Somebody say, well, you sure sound like a... No. I want you to get that, to understand that. You need to see that, because that's the weapon that the enemy has been using on you, like you're still in the place where you were, because what you're going through is similar of what you've been through. But I'm telling you, this is not that. It's a new day. A fresh anointing. Every day. It's coming your way. Hallelujah. Humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn. Oh. From their wicked way. But you've been delivered. You submit to tell you wrestling with wicked stuff. But you've been delivered. You're still wrestling. He says, yeah, because I know you're still in that flesh. But you're in development. Boy, somebody ought to give him, I'm an in development praise. I'm in development. The enemy has no more hold on me. The enemy can't do nothing to me. So whatever you're going through right now, that's why he says all things work together for the good in your development, because you've already been delivered. This is a revelation that has been hidden from the church. Hallelujah. But it's behold, he says, somebody say, my son. And that's sonship, y'all. That is gender friendly. That's talking spirit. He says, my son. He says, ooh, I got 2 minutes. Is that all right? Look, just real quickly, my son. He says, despise. Something real soft and real nice. Just that undercurrent of the angels moving music. You know, they be drifting like a fog, like a mist in the room. Oh, he give it to you. Watch this. He says, my son. Okay, I give it to you, my daughter too. My son, despise not the chastening. Y'all know that word chastening. It's pedio. Padaya. And it means the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and employs for this purpose now commands and admonition, now reproof and punishment. God is putting a command and a demand on you that he's chastening you for in your development, that he may train you in the education to cultivate your mind, which will cultivate your morals. King Saul lived a higher moral life than David. Yet God worked with David in his low moral life more than King Saul in his higher moral life. Because David was walking in the spirit in his development. where King Saul didn't understand the Spirit. See, if you cross over into the Spirit and you walk with God, He will help you in your development. Because if you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, you have just received your deliverance. We've got company. And the end of all of that is, real quickly, the end of all of that is, I told you all the last scripture, but I got to read that scripture so it can make sense to sum it up. The real part of that is, after all that we're going to go through and talk about, praise God, is this. It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, the same place that God built for David. When David, when he was chasing after the Spirit of God in the temple, and he says, man, he says, I can't do this temple thing, Lord. I can't do this temple thing. He says, but I can do the tent thing. And David said, God said, take my ark, and I'm going to build me a tabernacle in your tent. And he said, it shall be called Mount Zion, or the temple of God, or of David. You see what I'm saying? So God says, I'm going to tabernacle with you. Because I know you're still in this body. I know you're still in this flesh. But you're seeking after me with your spirit. And I'm going to develop you. Because I've already sent Jesus to deliver you. I am. You are delivered. You are delivered. You just need to walk in your development. He says here, the city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels. We've got company. Goes back to chapter 11, chapter 12. He says, where we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These are the same witnesses that he says that they made it through, and they're waiting in heaven to rejoice with us. But we got to make it through what they went through. You can't be in the company in heaven if you don't make it through earth. But you're not making it through earth by the point of God still trying to deliver you, because you're already delivered through Jesus Christ. What He's doing is trusting to develop us so we can be in the company when it's all said and done and join the ranks. Watch what he says. Last point. Come on, take this. Take this, because it keeps speaking to me. Here. Take that. Take that word. Take that Bible. It just keeps speaking to me. As long as I got it open, it's going to talk to me. Take it away from me. Hallelujah. He says, you are among. Now watch this. It's something when heaven can't count. Now God knows the end from the beginning. But he uses that term to help us. It's something when heaven can't count. He said it's an innumerable number that made it over. That made it over. And all the enemy can do is sit there and watch everybody that made it over. And I'm just standing in the crowd. I'm just, hey, praise the Lord. Hey, I'm praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Girl, I know that's right. Praise the Lord. I don't know who you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And who would know? Who would know? Who would know? Mr. Williams, who would know that God will have you standing among the group of people that He used to minister to get them to heaven? And God will place you around, pray God, people that you minister to. And say, girl, I remember, girl, yeah, you remember that, girl. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for your word that you gave to me. That's how I made it. Hallelujah. And that's why he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. There's an anointing to submit to the development. Now that you have this, that your faith is built, there's an anointing to submit to the development. Do you understand the distinction? Come on. Do you understand the distinction of deliverance and development now a little bit? Let me say it a little bit better than you ever have. I know I have. I know I have. I said, Lord, you dropped this on me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I understand it better now than I ever have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you can want something that somebody else have. And it's not that you got to go through what they have gone through to get it. See, this is the issue right here. It's not that you got to go through what they went through to get it, what they went through to get it, but you got to go through who they went through to get it. Looking unto Jesus. See, we're all looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of all of our faith. So you got to look to the one that they look to get through the assignment that's on your life. Lord, I thank you for a fresh anointing for the assignment that's on Redeemer Love Family Church and every member of this church, for the development that I'm walking through right now. We are delivered. Delivered for development. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.